enter into a word of prayer real quick. Father, our King, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your Shabbat, for your Son Yeshua, for your Torah, for your grace, your mercy, for your forgiveness. I thank you for bringing everybody here safely today. I pray that you would just bless this time together. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, this week's Torah portion is called Vayitzeh. A little bit of a last week, it ended with Jacob's on the run from Esau. Esau's trying to kill him. He supposedly took the birthright and the blessing, even though Esau sold it to him.
So here's a little rundown of this week's. Chapter 28, Jacob's dream of the ladder. Chapter 29, Jacob meets Rachel and Laban, and they have a horrible honeymoon. Chapter 30, about Jacob's 12 sons. Jacob and Laban strike a bargain. And in chapter 31, Jacob and his family leave Laban, and Jacob and Laban make a covenant together.
So I'm going to start here in verse 10 of chapter 28. Jacob went out from Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed the night there because the sun had set. He took a stone from the place, put it under his head, and lay down there to sleep. He dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching heaven, and the angels of Adonai were going up and down on it. Then suddenly Adonai was standing there next to him, and he said, "I am Adonai, the God of Abraham, your grandfather, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you are lying, I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go, and I will bring you back into this land, because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Truly, Adonai is in this place, and I didn't know it." Then he became afraid and said, "This place is fearsome. This has to be the house of God. This is the gate to heaven." So I'm not sure what your translation says, but mine says he came to a certain place here at the beginning up here. And it says it is widely believed and accepted that this is Mount Moriah that he's talking about. It's the same place where Abraham offered up Isaac, the same place where the temple would be built, the same place where Yeshua was later crucified in that area. We don't know 100%, even though there's a lot of scripture that we could use that kind of supports these claims. But tradition teaches that it's the same place, and I kind of lean that way as well. So there's a lot that Bonnie and Jackie and Jose could teach about this, about the temple. There's a lot of temple language here in chapter 28. So going on here. Jacob got up early in the morning. Took the stone he had put under his head, set it up as a standing stone, poured olive oil on its top, and named the place Beit El, or House of God. But the town had originally been called Luz. Jacob took this vow: "If God will be with me and will guard me on this road that I am traveling, giving me bread to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return to my father's house in peace, then Adonai will be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a standing stone will be God's house, and everything you give to me, I will faithfully return one-tenth to you." Okay, so kind of going back here, it says, you'll notice here it says, "If God will be with me." In the Aramaic, God here is replaced by the word Mimra, which means word. No one knows why. I've tried to look it up too, and I have no idea why, but this happens a lot throughout the Bible, where Mimra, or word, stands in for the name of God himself. It says, now the Jews spent 70 years in Babylon, so when they came out, they spoke mostly Aramaic. Yeah. So when they rebuilt the temple, when they went back to Jerusalem, a Torah scroll was found. You can find this in Nehemiah 8, verse 8. And Ezra the priest gathered the people together on Sukkot, and they had to translate the contents of the scroll to Aramaic so that the people would understand. I'm going to show you a few verses here, back up here, in reference to Mimra. There's several places they can be found.
Here in Genesis 3:8, it says, "They heard the voice of Adonai Elohim walking in the garden It says here, it's Mimre. They heard the voice of Mimre Elohim walking in the garden. Again, Genesis 9:17, and God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between my Mimre and all the flesh that is on the earth."
Jeremy, you know, Yeshua said he was the Word.
Right. Getting ahead of the game. We're getting there. No, you're right, though. It says, then he believed in the Mimre, or the Word, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Genesis 17:7, I will establish my covenant between my Mimre and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And again, Genesis 28:20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if Mimre will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear. And we just finished reading that. So I want to kind of segue that over to John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Mimre, and the Mimre was with God, and the Mimre was God. And at the very end of chapter 1 in John, it says, and he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So here Yeshua is saying that the latter in Genesis 28 is none other than himself. The thing that connects heaven and earth is Yeshua. The way God speaks to us on the earth is through Yeshua. The way people ascend to God is through Yeshua. So when we think of the latter, we can think of Yeshua here. So, in Hebrews chapter 3, it talks a lot about apostles and priests. And an apostle is someone sent by God, which can be symbolically represented by somebody coming down a ladder from heaven. A high priest, on the other hand, had the task of bringing people to the Father, bringing them into his presence, and teaching them how to approach God, which can symbolically be represented by somebody going up a ladder. Sometimes, well, Yeshua kind of operated both ways. Sometimes when Yeshua spoke, it's as if he was claiming to be God himself. Other times when he spoke as if he was just an ordinary human being like the rest of us. Why do you think that is?
Yes.
Well, because sometimes he spoke as an apostle and sometimes he spoke as a high priest. He spoke as a high priest, like what Gabe was saying earlier, when he taught us how to pray and how to enter and approach God. So he's the ladder that goes in both directions. So back to Jacob. In verse 5 of chapter 28, we learn that Jacob was leaving home and he heads to Padan Aram. Aram means elevated, but backwards, you see that it means rebellious. Laban's name, on the other hand, means white or pure, but backwards it means fool. Go figure. Laban had a pretty high opinion of himself, and he tried to control Jacob, cheat Jacob. He treated him awfully. And,
the rebellious old fool.
But, so why do you think Jacob put up with this? Perhaps some people may think he was getting some just desserts there.
Well,
maybe.
You know, the promise God made him that he will guard him wherever he goes. So.
Right. When you go further into it, he flourished there.
Yeah.
Because of the blessing of God on him and his covenant.
Even Laban. Right. Well, Jacob knew
Laban
that Laban
was blessed. That's why he didn't want him to leave.
Right. Well, Jacob knew that Laban was a scoundrel, that he was a liar, a cheater, a fool. He knew all this. You know, Laban didn't recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob either. He had his own gods.
Right.
But have you ever had a boss that maybe fit this description, maybe a teacher, someone who was not a godly authority in your life, but you had to submit yourselves to them? I know I do. I've probably complained to my wife so many times about my bosses at work that are just, you know, I shouldn't even do that, but that's what was so convicting about this Torah portion for me.
Amen.
But God uses Laban's all the time in our lives. What would have happened if Jacob had thrown in a towel and just quit? and just said, I'm not going to work for this guy anymore. I don't have to take this anymore. I'm just going to quit. I'm going to leave, go somewhere else. Yeah.
He would have. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot that wouldn't have happened.
Also, God uses adversity in our lives to develop character.
Right.
And although at this point in time, there's not a whole lot of character coming out of Jacob, ultimately down the road, I truly believe that God used those lessons in Jacob's life to develop the character.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, he wouldn't have acquired his wealth. He wouldn't have had his 12 sons, right. Arguably.
He wouldn't be in obedience.
Right. He wouldn't have been even in direct disobedience to God. And he wouldn't have had his name changed.
And he also was told by his mother and father to go there as well. So he endured it also for
that's right.
That's right.
Obedience
to parents. That's right. So he wouldn't have had his name changed if he had just quit and not submitted himself to the rebellious old fool. So I say that to say this: we need to learn how to submit ourselves to the authorities that God has put in our lives.
Amen. Yes.
Even if they are not godly authorities, and I have to remind myself of that on a daily basis when I'm at work, because not to mention any names or throw anybody under the bus, but it can be pretty.
This nation,
yeah.
It can be very disheartening.
Yeah.
It can be.
But Jacob realized this, and he also realized that God brought him there. So he looked to the ultimate authority and said that until God releases me, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to go anywhere until God tells me to. But we tend to pride ourselves, especially we as men, as I'm not going to work for this guy. I'm not going to take this type of disrespect from anybody. I know I can be that way. Julia can tell you, I'm sure. But anyway, Jacob does not do any of that. He doesn't complain. He doesn't just up and leave. He stays. So kind of bringing all this to a close, he's running from his brother Esau, or Edom, which means red, who wants to kill him. Then he gets tied up with this guy Laban, whose name means white or pure, who's trying to basically bleed him dry, use him for all his work, just use him up.
He's anything but
that, right? I mean, and make no mistake about it, Esau and Laban are enemies of Jacob. They're not his friends. You know, he's kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. But what's interesting is if you take the first letter of Edom, in the first letter of Laban, it spells El, or
wow.
God.
Wow.
So it was God the entire time. God used Laban, even though he was an enemy of Jacob. He was no friend of him at all. He changed his wages so many times. He really put him through the ringer. But God used Laban to break Jacob, change Jacob, and mature and grow him. And in the end, he gets a name change.
Yeah.
Jacob, which means grasper or usurper, is changed to Israel, which means prince of God or straight to God. Mm. So our story is kind of like Jacob's. You know, he uses the trials in our lives, the people in our lives, the situations. All of us go through different things. And it ends up, it changes us, it breaks us, it molds us back and changes us from a Jacob to an Israel. Well, that's kind of short, but that's all I was going to go with today.
Great.
If there's any questions,
that was very good.
Comments.
Yeah, I like the comment you made about us learning to live with the situation we're in. I noticed this week, and it's really caused me to grieve in my spirit, a lot of comments and stuff on social media, even a lot of our comments on our texting and stuff. You know, we're in a place in life, this 2020 is going to be, to most people, the worst year they've ever lived. But it's crucial, just like we're talking about Jacob here, is that during this time, we keep a good spirit about ourselves. You know, I was reminded this week that a lot of times, what we're doing and what we're saying is rebellion. And if you read in the scripture, rebellion is as witchcraft. So if we're rebelling and we're fighting what's being done in our society to that point that we're being disrespectful and we're not trying to live in harmony and see God's will come about. Because I truly believe, this has been terrible. We've seen people die. We've seen people sick. I dare say there's nobody in this room today that hasn't come in contact with somebody that's actually suffered with this COVID virus. If you haven't, there's somebody sitting right over here that can tell you. It's not a pretty thing, is it? And what we've been through this year has not been pretty. But it's crucial that in order for us to see that name change in our own life, which is going to come about, that we maintain a good spirit about all this. What we should be showing people is exalting God and praising God. It doesn't matter what the circumstances around us. That doesn't change who we are and who He is.
But yeah, it's.
You were talking about it, just reminded me, and that scripture came back to my mind about the rebellion. I don't want to have a rebellious spirit myself. You know, I may not agree with what's happening in the presidential race, or I may not agree with what's happening in the Senate race, or even into amendments that's coming about. But you know, once those things are put in place, the scripture tells us that our Father puts those people in power, and He does it for a reason. And so, to the best of our advantage, is not to, as Saul was on the road to Damascus, don't kick against that. Don't fight that, what's going on. But in everything, worship Him and give Him the glory for what He's doing in our lives. Because we've got some good reports. Greg back here, that's unreal that he's come back as far as he has. Jose, when he was in the hospital, I was terrified. I was terrified for him. But God, in His goodness and His grace,
restored us.
Right. We have a lot to be thankful for. This, even as bad as this year has been, we have so much to be thankful for. And I'll rush.
You're good. You're okay. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I had about three or four different, I guess I'll just call them sermons, yeah, made up for this, and ended up hearing a teaching on this that really convicted me, because, like I was saying earlier, you know, the authorities that I have in my life at work are not godly authorities at all, and sometimes I catch myself complaining about that to Julia. And but also, I think that it speaks a lot about who we are as people, as followers of Yeshua. If although we are under people who are not godly, if we go out of our way to be the best worker that they have, I think that speaks.
Can I say something on that?
Go ahead.
You know, talking about the rebellion and everything, and also having a Lord that's not godly, you think about the Israelites being in bondage and everything, that even the straw was taken away and the bricks they had to make. I mean, they, by all rights, they should have been causing a ruckus and everything else, but they still submitted. They still were respectful and
accepted
their spirits while God was doing His work and stuff. And so that is a perfect example. Like you said, you know, your bosses and everything else, you're so angry, but.
Right, I agree. How we react to that, I think, speaks more about who we are rather than who they are.
And I love that example. Yeah. I love the fact that we can still make bricks without straw.
Right, I mean, we're still pushing through. We're still going to...
So I'm sorry. But
what I got from what you said and back up on what he said, if there's legends in your life, submit to authority. Pray to them and yourself to submit to the authority without rebellion. And that's right.
Render to Caesar what is Caesar's, I guess. But,
without rebellion, that you can look to them with eyes of respect because God has put them where they are.
Right.
So, and I was just going to say that in this season that we said we have a great opportunity to be the reflection of Yeshua unto a lost and fallen world. I mean, we see right here with Laban. Laban, he used divination to know who his God was, and yet he still worked for him.
Right.
How else will we ever reach these individuals or have God reach them if we won't do business with them, if we won't work with these individuals?
Absolutely.
We have to be that example.
Exactly. I agree. 100%.
I have a comment. Mr. Ryan.
Remember Daniel, in the situation that got him into the lion's den was a law that was passed specifically against him and his prayer to Almighty God.
Yes.
He didn't rebel in the sense of having a bad spirit. spirit. He just went on doing what was right.
Right.
Doing,
yeah, he didn't protest or riot in the streets or anything.
Right. Yeah, we'll see what, how it right. turned out for Daniel.
Absolutely.
And if we'll do the same thing, God will take care of
it. Amen.
I agree. Okay.
First, I would like to second your opinion in reference to submitting to authority. Anyone that's been here in the military and is a servant of the Messiah can testify to how hard that walk is, especially in a military society that is so secular. Now, the second thing I wanted to mention, you brought up all these verses with the memory mm-hmm. in Aramaic, and all those verses refer to a covenant of God with Abraham and Abraham's seed. And later on, we see our Messiah coming and fulfilling the word of God or fulfilling his Torah and having an opportunity to descend, to preach, to bring forth to the kingdom of heaven the first fruit. And all the people that is referred to in the Torah that they were they died and were gathered up to their fathers. They all died with the hope of Messiah.
Right.
And this is the people that he's bringing up. And now that he's come, and now that we've heard, now that faith has come to us by hearing and hearing by his word, it's our job to stay in faith in him
right.
for our second, for the next resurrection, so that we may be worthy to be part of his kingdom and be part of those fruits that were there. So that's,
I agree.
Thank you for bringing that.
That's right.
When you were talking about the ladder and you said about Yeshua, how he's the ladder that goes down, but he also is the ladder that goes up, so he's the ultimate high priest.
Right, absolutely.
And also in synagogue worship, even today, when you go up as a Torah reader to read from the word and you're coming to the Bema to do that, it's called an aliyah. You're going up. You're always going up when you read the word. And then lastly, the picture I had in my mind was of the priests and how often they had to climb the ladder, whether it was lighting the wicks for the temple worship or whatever it was, they were having to go up.
Right.
So.
Good conversation.
Thank you.
Great
conversation.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
Can we hold on? I just received a prayer request from our brother Jim, and let's pray for him before we do this. He wrote me, please pray for me as my feet and back are in much pain. Pray Yeshua gives me strength for this day and that praise for his grace and mercy remains on my lips and in my heart in the midst of the pain. Abba, we pray for brother Jim. We pray that you strengthen him, his back, his feet, that you heal him, that you relieve him from pain, and that you be there with him, that he will be able in the midst of this, as you work on him and his life and his body, that he will be able to keep praising you, giving you all the glory. Be merciful to him, Lord. We pray in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Bless Kitha as she is there with him. Help her to care for him. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
He's at home.
Somebody ask a question?
He's not in the hospital.
He's not in the hospital. He's at home. Yeah. Does anyone not have the juice, fruit of the vine? Okay, we need three over there, looks like.
Juice.
And what we're doing with this tradition, it's called Kiddush, is we are elevating the meal we're about to partake in together as a family. And we're saying that this is a meal of a covenant. It's coming into covenant with each other. And saying that as we break bread, we're doing a couple of things, that we're worshiping the Most High through our eating. Because who you eat with is who you worship with. And also who you eat with is who you're at peace with. So if there's any discord or lack of shalom between brothers or sisters, I encourage you, strongly encourage you to make peace, make shalom between each other, and we break bread and collectively and with unity. So does everyone have the juice? Anyone not have the juice? Are we still, okay, they're coming with it. I think they're pouring more. Thank you, Jeremy, great job teaching. It's so great to have so many husbands and men and fathers who can rightly divide the word of truth in our congregation. If you guys have any more deep questions about the teaching or about this Torah portion, see Jeremy during lunch. He'll be glad to.
Thank you, Jeremy.